We're learning the Sefer Tal Lechaim from the Chalban. The sugya that we have to live with every moment of our lives. I mean, we live with it, we're ignoring. But the sugya of Bitachon. The sugya of Bitachon. One page, Tavkuf Lamed Gimel. It's very tiny on top. You can see which is Tavkuf Lamed Gimel. We were just learning that piece from Rav Kook that he brings from Arz HaKadosh. We read most of it, but probably we should start again. But Katnas Adas, we'll just do it quickly. Just to remind you, the Chaban is explaining what the Sherish of Bitachon is. And the main problem that we have in trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yesod of Bitachon is to have a certain perspective of reality where the most real thing in your life is God. Where the Rebbein Shalom's presence, even though he's invisible, but that presence is a overwhelming, powerful, powerful experience of his being in your life and being everywhere. Leis also pomimine. And physical reality is not what it appears. Physical reality is not what it appears. We were talking about last week how Damas is not how it appears, because although we see in front of us the density of physical matter, Damas is not like that. And all of us have experienced many times in life where something looked a certain way, and we were convinced it was a certain way, but Bechlal was not what it appeared. Bechlal was not how it appeared. So, the Shoresh of Bitachon, this is what Rav Kook is saying, the root, the Shoresh of Bitachon, is to have an entirely different perspective of life. The 99.99999% of mankind, because 99.9% of mankind sees the physical world as real, and will remind you to get real. The physical world that you see in front of your eyes—that's the real world. And as far as religion is concerned, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, there's something out there. There's something, whatever, but it's not real. It's not experienced as something which is real and present. Therefore, it's natural for a human being to trust in what he sees with his eyes and what he experiences in the physical world. It's natural to trust in this world. And it's unnatural, supernatural maybe, for one to trust in that which he can't see with his eyes. But that's where Emuna begins. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. Again, we'll just review that paragraph on page Tavkuf Lamed Gimel, beginning with the word Bekatnas, the small print Bekatnas. Bekatnas Adas Munach Eres Pnimi. Shenidmal Yada. We'll just do it quickly. We've already learned this. Shenidmal Yada. Shekol Hantokim Menachol Elakaydish Idchiyem Yeshus Alapsius. The Katnas, the poison of this world, is a way of thinking that any time that we tear ourselves away from that which is physical, that which is chol, and we draw ourselves closer to that which is kodesh, the feeling that one gets is that it's a dechia miyeshus alapsius, that I'm leaving something that exists, I'm leaving something that's real. When I go from the doctor's office to the tehillim, something, God forbid, is wrong, and I go from the doctor's office to the Kapitel Tehillim. The feeling is I'm leaving the real world of MRIs and laboratories and procedures and so on, and I'm going into this very sweet Apsius, nothingness of a Kapitel Tehillim. And even though, of course, we received from our parents and grandparents that we have this amuna, that helps. A simple amuna will help even those who are in a place of katnas. All of us are helped. The problem is that in our way of thinking, in our way of seeing things, we're missing this yesod hameir, this illuminating foundation of faith, which is that the Rebbeinu Shalom is real. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the only mechuyev hametzias, right? Mechuyev hametzias. He's the only mechuyev hametzias, and everything else is only an efshar. Efshari hametzias. The yesod hameir of life is that when I'm walking out from the doctor's office and I'm going to the Mismedrash, I'm going to the Sefer Tehillim, the Emes, I'm leaving that which is uncertain, that which is unreal, and I'm entering into a world that is solid and true and real. The Tehillim. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we should go to the doctor, because he told us to do that. As Chazal say, Rishus, the doctor received permission from Hashem to be Isaac with us. He received permission. He didn't get permission to say there's no hope. He didn't get permission to say that you're finished. He only got permission to heal. Hamazir is nishmas adam b'terchi yusad. This yisod hameir of having the correct perspective of what's real and what's not, the emes mechuyev hametzius. This, when it's felt, illuminates nishmas ha'adam b'taychi yusa. It mamish illuminates the inner soul of a person. Shayyodah neshama tvua kula ba'akirosa hal yenish akol han tokim an acholu lakaydish hibricha michurben v'afsiyas ala yishuv hamilu v'ayeshus ha'kabir v'ateina. What's the yisod ha'meir that gives light to a person? Just the opposite. When I tear myself away, when I disengage from chol, from the mundane, from that which is physical, and I enter into that which is kodesh, that which is holy, then I'm leaving churban and afsias. When I walk out from the doctor's office, I'm leaving a place of churban and afsias, of destruction and of emptiness, of nothingness. And when I go into the Bismedrash, I go into the Kapitel Tehillim, I go into my emunah, I'm entering into the Yishuv HaMili VaYeshus HaKabir VaEitana, that existence which is the strongest. El Chaya Echayim, I'm going to the life of all life. The same, look, I'm coming straight here, Lolani, from Shiva, from somebody, from a good friend of mine who was Nifta. And you know, everybody says things like, people try to make it more sound more Jewish, but they want to say things like, he's in a much better place. You know, like that's one of those lines, and there is a shkayach, shkayach. He's in a much better place. Our hasoga of this world is that this is the place. This is the metzias. And beyond this world, it's an Efsharia Metzias. We hope. From that you can't have bitachin. From that, with that way of thinking, when somebody dies, it's a very, very, very crushing final experience. It crushes you, God forbid. Because that this guy has died, that's 100%. They buried him. That there's a world beyond this world and we're going to be together forever. So in the person's mind, that's an Efshari Hametzius. Okay, my parents told me that, my grandparents, but I don't know. It's an Efshari Hametzius. It's very hard to have you talking like that and to strengthen yourself. But when it's the other way, when this whole world, this whole life, we understand is an Efshari Hametzius, a person can die at any minute. And the next world is Chaya Chayim, the life of all life. That's true life. So then a person has a different way of going through the shiva and the shleisha la'alayna. El chay chayim ba'itzim mekariyusam. The life of all life, with all of the power of that makor of life, the source of life, is Hashem. What we have here in this world is a little bit of the end, the last stop of something, of the chay chayim, of that life of all life, which is beyond this world. Our life here in this world is a little bit of something of a tam, a taste of true life. This fills a person with menucha, with tranquility and eyes and strength. A person who believes this, like when they held a gun to the Friedrich Rebbe's head. There was a guy, it's a famous thing, when the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe was imprisoned. So the guy, the Russian that was interrogating him, put a gun to the Lubavitch Rebbe's head, that he should give, tell on this person, tell on that, whatever. And Lubavitch Rebbe wasn't this spell at all, the Friedrich Rebbe. And even though the interrogator knew that the gun wasn't loaded, he put it by the Rebbe's head and he said, "You could talk or I'm going to kill you." And the Rebbe just said, "Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenei Shema Chad." And the fellow pulled the trigger and it was empty. He knew that it was empty, the guy. And the Lubavitch Rebbe didn't even flinch. There's a guy that I went to high school with, and he went with his boat too far in Eretz Yisrael, and the Syrians took him for a few days. This was nice many years ago, it was in the newspapers, the whole thing. And he was okay, but they were playing with him, and they were also interrogating him, and somebody did that to him with a gun, that it wasn't loaded, and they made like they were shooting him. He fainted, he fell on the floor, and then he needed a lot of therapy for a long time after that to be able to recuperate from that pachad. Lubavitcher didn't flinch. When the guy pulled the trigger, he didn't move his head, didn't do anything, he just stood there. So the guy said, "What, you're not a human being? You're not human." So the Lubavitcher said, "See," he said, "that there's a difference between me and you." The Lubavitcher said, "You have, to you, there's one world and there's one gun. There's a gun, there's a world and there's a gun. To me, there's no gun and there are two worlds. That's the whole thing. The gun doesn't mean anything to me. What this world is, and there's a world beyond this world." Now, you can't fake that. You can talk about that, but the Shas Ma'i said, you can't fake that. And whenever a person goes through Chas V'Chalila, some terrible difficulty, it really boils down to that. What world do you occupy? What in your mind is real? When a person lives in the reality of the Bari Olam, that fills him, Rav Kook says, with menucha and eyes, with tranquility and strength. Like the Lubavitch Rebbe, he was strong. Tranquility and strength. This whole way of thinking changes the way that a person davens. Obviously, when a person believes entirely in this world, then he puts all of his koichus into the shtadlus that he makes in this world. In the doctor and everything else, he puts all of his shtadlus and he hangs all of his hopes on this world. But when a person has the true perspective of bitachon, then he places all of his koiches, all of his hopes are placed into tefillah, into davening. In other words, the person who lives without this bitachon, he'll stop at nothing. He'll make tremendous efforts to cover every base and to make all the shtadlus that's necessary. When it comes to davening, so he could spend the whole day on a million phone calls and trying to lock in all these different deals. And then Nebuchadnezzar will come to davening with the and he'll daven a few in 30 seconds. He finishes davening and he's on the thing. The ikur hishtadlus of that person, the main hishtadlus of that person, of course, is in the physical world. And since he sees that as being real, he covers all of his bases. As far as davening is concerned, I don't know. He's speaking to something, some invisible force. And he's not quite sure who's listening. So he davens in 10 seconds. He has to daven because it's whatever. He davens in 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and he's finished davening. There's a very deep Torah from the Tzaddikim. I think it goes back to Yira Kodesh. On this parasha. When Paro says, Havin is chak maloi pen yirba, right? Paro says, Havin is chak maloi. You have to think of an Eitzah. Having this chakmaloi about what are we going to do with all these Jews? Pen yerba, there might be too many of them, and the nilchamon will fight against us for all the minorities, and they'll leave. So the Yirah Kaddish, I'm pretty sure it's the Yirah Kaddish said, a Jew who lives with real, real strong emunah, clear, strong emunah, on chachmas, without chachmas, emunah, he lives in a world of certainty, of clarity. The world of Paro, which is the Yetzer Hara, says, Havin is chakma. Chachmas. In other words, I have to try to figure things out. Chachmas. Chachma, one minute it seems like this, the next minute it seems like that. It's not certain, it's not clear. It's constantly changing, constantly fluctuating. You're always questioning your chachma and asking, what do you think? So the whole Indian of Paro, which is the Yetzer Hara, is, Havin is chachmalai. Why? Chachma. Not emuna, chachma. Because this way, pen yirbe. Pen always means maybe. The word pen means maybe. So the inyan of the Yetzirah is to increase a feeling of uncertainty, which is called pen yirbe. Pen yirbe. The result of that was, kashayanu oisai, the more Paro and Mitzrayim tortured us, Kashiyano is what happened? Cain. Kashiyano is Cain Yirba, the Cain Yirfrets. Cain means absolute certainty. You know this word, Shamyan? You heard this word? Maybe. It's a Mardik word. The whole meaning of the Yetzar is, Havanus Hakmalai. Why? Chachmas. Chachmas. You have to figure everything out. That's this world. The point of that is pen yerba, to intensify the feeling of pen. Maybe yes, maybe no. Uncertainty. That's what Paro wanted. But Kashayanu said, so the more he tortured us, we became stronger and stronger. Cain yerba. There was more Cain. Cain yifreitz. And the Cain, that clarity of the nefesh elokis came more and more out. Cain yerba, the Cain yifreitz. The world of Chachmas, this world is a world of pen. Maybe yes, maybe no. Everything is Efshari HaMetzias. This world is a world of Efshari HaMetzias, which is pen. Emuna Bitochen comes from the world of Cain. Thus is thus. Yes, it is. This is it. Cain Yerba. Cain Yerfreis. And it's obvious that will naturally impact our davening. When you realize that the moments of tefillah are the main times that you have to make a hishtadlus and ruchnias, and your ruchnias to you is a world of Cain. Yes, it is. So then, davening is a big thing. And what about your stylus and physical in the chachmas of this world? It's not. I'm sure I haven't seen his pen. You do. You make your stylus. You try your best. You're on this nish. Works. It doesn't work. Why do you have to take every email the second it comes in? Why do you feel that need to pull the thing out? And why do you feel that need?
It's a don't think if you don't answer right away, you're going to lose it.
You're going to lose. They're going to lose. Pen yirbe. You're going to lose. So you can have no... You have no yisur adaz. You have no menuchas nefesh. Your davening's interrupted. Your learning's interrupted. So, but where does that come from? It comes from Paro. Straight from Paro. Pen yirbe. Maybe I'm going to lose out. Maybe there's something. I'm not talking about, God forbid, you have somebody that's sick in their corn. I'm not talking chas. I'm talking about stam, a regular day. I'm not talking if the wife is expecting and she, you have to take out the phone to look to see. I'm not. I'm talking about regular stuff. The whole meaning of Paro is pen yirbe.
Pen is negative.
Pen is
negative.
Pen is. Lest it happen, they'd say in the fancy English, lest it occur. Lest it occur. Lest it happen. Pen. So there's that feeling of pen, and power increases that. In other words, I don't know, this could be the big deal. This could be, or lest this be an opportunity to make some money that I'm passing up. I have to tell the truth, and I was. It's not so nice. As I'm getting older, even the telephone, I'm becoming less nispal from altogether, the whole thing. And I don't know what the dinner's going to be in Shemaim. I said this to my wife. To spend my whole life on the telephone, instead of learning and davening and panim al panim, a life on the telephone. Sometimes there's no etzer. But the inyan of what is it that has to be taken care of this second, that you can't daven, that you can't learn, that you can't have a little yeshiva das, you can't sit and talk to your kid the whole day, the kid's waiting to talk to you, and the kid's sitting with a parent, and every second he sends to the parent is always pen yirbe, uncertainty. He's uncertain whether he's going to have his father for the next 15 minutes. You know, it used to be such a thing that a kid could sit with his father, and he had his father for a certain amount of time. He had his father for a certain amount of time. He knew that he had his father. He sat down with him, and there was no phone next to you. I'm not talking about in ancient times. I'm talking about when I was already even an adult, where there was, before there were cell phones. It means the only time there was a pen, there was an uncertainty that would interrupt, that perhaps this conversation with my father would be interrupted, is if you sat right next to a phone that had a wire. And you know what? If you took this thing off, then there was nothing that was going to happen. There would be no ring. Gedenkst? Do you remember? Shalom, you don't remember. I'm just kidding. So, when you took this thing off, it wouldn't ring. Amachai. It's better than putting the thing on silent, because maybe something's going on. Maybe something's going on. And then when you're going to pick it up, you're just going to say, 4 messages to go on. 12 messages. No, when you used to take this thing off, no light. It didn't light up. Nothing. Goodness. Nobody was saying, I'm here, I'm looking for you. Nothing. So a kid could sit with his father, and it was Vehayesha Mamish. He was sitting with him, and he had him. And they were talking. It was a Mechuyiv HaMetzius. Now when a kid sits with his father, it's always Efshari HaMetzius. Maybe I have him. Why? Because the kid hears things going, And the kid knows at any moment that's going to happen. Any moment. Halavai. Any second. And the father's not going to say, no, he loves his kid. He says, takes a look at him, presses something, puts it back. The whole relationship that they have is Efshari HaMetzius. It's sitting right now in your pockets. It's all of Shari Metzius. Right now, there are messages that are being left on your machines. The world is going to change if you don't take it. You're going to lose. You can't sit with your kid. You can't sit with your wife. You can't sit with yourself. You can't sit with a sefer. You can't sit with a siddur. You can't sit with the Bari Olam for 2 minutes. Because there's always this pen. Maybe. Lest I lose something because I don't look at the phone now. Lest I lose something because I don't check my emails now. People go to bed, they put it next to them. put the thing next to them on the night table, lest something happen during the night. Makes the limits. This is already all of bracha v'tov. It's a fafal. But the Baruch Shalom says we have to talk about these things. At least to be ma'ira these in yonim. I don't know. For people who are over 35, there's still hechet timsa that they could hear these things. People who are under 35 or 30, it's like a bracha. This I'm talking is like a stan narishke. Stan narishke. So the whole inyan of paro is that the world is real, your emails are real, the opportunities to make another buck this minute are real, and as far as your kid is concerned, how he feels, and how your wife, how she feels, and the Bar Olam, how he feels, kivyoch. I don't know that stuff. You know, that's an efshari hametzias.
So it's doubt. Maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah. When a person lives in a place of bitachon. Bitachon, we understand, means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechuyav hametzias, and this whole world, with all of the glitter and glamour of this world, is all efshari hametzias. What is it? It's not true metzias. So then the person doesn't have to be nispal from the emails or from the phone calls. You're nishnis. I'll take it later. I mean, yeah, a person has responsibility. Also, the phone call is not going to happen. I'll take it later. I had someone give me a whole mishnah berurah. How could you do this thing with a phone that there are no calls Wednesday? Ki'ilu, that's completely honored. You wouldn't believe how many calls I get on Wednesday. Even though it says beferish, please don't, unless it's an emergency. You wouldn't believe how many calls I get. But I get mishnah berurah from this person who told me what kind of thing is that. It's not derech eretz. And if you do such a thing, how can you not pick up that? What if someone's... I said, it's clear, there's an emergency call, but it's stam to call. Why? I grew up in a world where I didn't have to be 24 hours available to everybody. And I'm going to continue to live that way, which is until I'm 20. I'm not available to. So you don't like me, so you won't be my friend. You won't dive in the shul. I'm sure you'll continue davening someplace else and you'll give it another rabbi, Mr. Bear. So what? What am I going to do? For that, I'm going to become a mechuyav hametzias. Is it going to be a mechuyav hametzias in my life? He's worried that I saw his name on the caller ID and I ignored him. I didn't respond to him. It's not even true. I don't look at the thing at all. It's a sickness. It's all pen yirba. The only teretz is kein yirba, the kein yifreitz. To strengthen our emuna in that reality which is kein, which is yes. You know, by the chassidim in Chabad, they have a way of saying something. We always talk about this world was created yesh me'ayin. Yesh means something, and ayin is from nothing. In Chabad, they say that's not really true. Really, the world we live in is ayin miyesh. It's nothing that comes from something. It's just two little words. You just switch them. Yesh, this world is yesh me'ayin. It's something. This world is something. I have the emails and the text messages and everything. This world is something. And where is it? What's the other world? Ayin, nothing. Chassidim say, no. This is a world of ayin, nothing. And it comes from a place of yesh, of true existence. It's just they switch the words. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. If you live in a world of yesh me'ayin, that this is the world of yesh, it's hard to have menucha. You have to go spend $5,000, which itself takes away your menucha. You have to go spend $5,000 to find some place where I can go with this, you know, by the ocean somewhere where nobody, no other Jew is going to see me for 2 weeks. You know. If you live in a world of yesh, if you live in the world that the other world is yesh and this world is ayin, you're not in this world. You could enter into the Tehillim. You could close yourself into a room with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's the true yesh. That's a different life. It's a life of menucha. That person is a life of menucha. It's a life of tranquility and oiz and strength. That's what the story of the Lubavitcher is about. Strength. He was strong. It wasn't a spot. Because to him, the gun is a toy, and this world is not the ikkah. There's not what's this world. There's another world. This world is ayin. The other world is yesh.
Isn't this strength in our original question, though? I'm sure we'll get to that. But
yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Soon. Umaytzehi is matirosu bituya v'gilui chaya. This bitachon that Rav Kook is talking about, it finds its expression in the words of tefillah, in davening, in all the expressions of tefillah. And that's where its life is fully revealed. I know we did this last week, we were rushing at the end. That whether your requests that you're asking for in davening, whether those requests that you are being filled the way that you wanted, that's secondary. That's not the ikkah. The need is to have a kesher with a kadosh baruch hu. For the person who lives in this world of bitachon, it's like the fat and the deshen and the tizba nafshi that satiates. Tefillah fills the person, satiates. Tizba nafshi, v'sif say renonis yahalol pi, and my lips, the lips are praising Hashem. The davening becomes that which fills you. Davening is not lost time. Somebody said to me yesterday, daven shachas, I don't know if it was a Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Daven shachas took 18 minutes somewhere. It was in a shul that it was for 18 minutes shachas. 18 minutes. Why is it that we don't have time to daven? Why is it? It's a burden because you feel it's not real. But if you sit down to watch a half-hour sitcom and it finishes in 18 minutes, you start banging your television and cursing and calling up the company that something's wrong with your television. It's supposed to be a half-hour, you only get 18 minutes. An 18-minute davening. Well, why is it that a person can walk into shul 10 minutes late and leave 10 minutes early and he has 10 minutes in between? Because that's not real. He's got to do it, but it's not real. What is real? The iPhone is real. The iPad is real. That he has time. That he has time. People have time to go onto this thing with a Facebook, a FaceTime, all these things, and to post a picture of the baby that just came out of the bath, and then to have 45 other people say, "How cute, mush, mush, cute, mush." Did you wonder what people are living for? That a person has nothing to live to put some kid on the thing, and then everybody has to write back something. So I said this to someone. She said to me, "Oh, it's just the whole thing takes 2 seconds. Let's take the right mush." But how utterly bizarre it is that we live in a world like that.
Girls get in the comments is getting 150 comments. Right?
Comments.
Seconds. She's reading. Well,
she's reading 100 comments.
Yeah, so
mush, mush, cute, cute, yeah. Adorable, mush, cute, adorable, cute. And then you have to send back, thanks. Thanks. And everybody's in such a hurry. You see how they abbreviate on the text messages? Somebody sent me a text message, which I had to read them. Somebody sent me a text message yesterday. It said, LOL. So I don't know what that. I mean, I know a lot of Rashi Tevis. I'm used to, LOL. It's not Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know LOL. So I made a cheshbon that it stands for lots of luck. I don't know. So it takes me a while, and I text back. I said, "Thank you." I didn't know. I wrote thank you, but why are you lots of. So then he sent me back that LOL stands for laugh out loud. You knew that? laugh out loud. Notice, he thought that what I had said to him or what I spoke about, at a shiur or something, he was saying that it was funny. Something I said was funny, so he wrote LOL. And he said to me, so I thought it was lots of luck. I said, I need luck because of the shiur that I gave. I don't know what he was talking about. Then he wrote, that means laugh out loud. Laugh out loud. So I texted back to him, IGI. So he said, so he texted back, and what does that mean? So I said, I get it. So you're making this Rosh Tevis, I thought he made up LOL, laugh out loud. So I was thinking, this guy doesn't have time to write a couple of words. He's got time to spend his entire life on this machine. But he's careful with his time. See, he makes Rosh Tevis. Doesn't want to waste time. He's a busy person. He's a very busy person. Like all these people with the pictures, posting pictures. They're very busy people. They don't have time for full sentences. They're busy people. It's an amazing thing how the Chassam Sofer had time to write letters. Full letters. Long letters. Chassam Sofer had time. This person doesn't have time to write Rosh Tevis. LOL. There's no time. Nobody has time anymore. It's a pillar. They're so busy they can't write out full words. They can't talk on the phone. And that's a madriga for these people. Posting pictures. Yeah, and 100 people, whatever it is, looking at the picture of your kid coming out of the bath. Adorable, cute. And if they don't answer, then she has a taina. You don't think my kid is a mush? Why? I posted the picture. I didn't get a response from you. You're the only one that didn't respond. I'm very hurt. Mush. Next time I'll make sure. Mush. Ain't kamushi ain't. The biggest mush in the world. Cutest mush. Your kid is adorable. Boy, is your kid adorable. It's all adult. Tzachmanis. So yesh, yesh, yesh. Pen yirbe, pen yirbe, pen yirbe. So the yesh. The kudas hayeshus. So if Cook ends this piece. The kudas hayeshus. Ha'alomis ha'klolis. So there are two types of yeshus. That's what Cook is explaining. There's physical yeshus, physical reality. Ha'olam is haklalis, of this world, of the yeshus. And there's nekudas hayesh hanishmasis. There's the yeshus of the neshama. Yeshus hanishmasis shel ha'adam ha'ilami. Achasi. Bemis is all one. There's one God. We're the ones that make this separation. The difference between recognizing that this world is an empty vision, chizayon reik, salalei tzevoim, shadows of colors, slilei kailais, sounds, mitaim that cause us to make a mistake, shadows and sounds that confuse us. That's what this world is. The big yeshus of this world, shadows, sounds that are unclear, that cause us to make a mistake. Uben hakaroso ba'ima kamilu vayeshus havayosis. The difference between living in that yeshus of this false vision and shadows and sounds that are unclear and that cause mistakes, and between that and hakaroso ba'oime kamilui vayeshus havayos, is the true depth of that which exists, which is ein oid milvadoi, which is atu melechai v'kayim. Tolu begodol ha'aliyah ha'atzmusa shel ha'neshama. It depends where your neshama is holding, how strong your neshama is, how strong ruchnius is inside of you. By the Friedrich Rebbe.
Thanks.
By the Friedrich Rebbe, the Yeshus HaNishmos of the Neshama was so strong that he laughed at the gun. Oh, we can't do that. The Oitzma, the strength of his Neshama, the reality of the Rosh Hashanah, and his Neshama was so strong that to him, this whole thing is an Arishkeit, the gun and the Russian, it's all an Arishkeit. That's what it means. It's totally the godl ha'aliyah ha'atzmusis shalhan neshav. I'm sorry. How powerful is the neshama? How connected are you to the neshama? Why don't you test yourself and see how long you could hold away, not on Shabbos, how long you could hold yourself from not looking at your iPhone? First you got to put it out of your hand. That's the aleph. Put it down. Put it away someplace. How long can you do that? I'm not talking about when you're at work and they have to contact you. I understand there's a malach. There's a klal of this world. I understand. But stop. Like on Sunday, if you're with your family. Can you leave it at home? Can you talk to your kid and leave it on another floor? Turn it off and leave it somewhere else? I'm not talking about a Russian holding a gun to your head. I'm talking about you're holding your own gun to your own head. Can you put it down? Can you put it away? I'm watching, you know, the boys in the yeshiva, and there's certain chevra that it's on the table, and they put it in the pocket. And it's on the table, and they put it in this pocket. Then they put it here, and they put it back on the table.
Yeah. You like, during class, you told them?
Yeah. I mean, the stronger learners and the stronger shiurim, it's a different tzura.
You're not sure, are they supposed to put it away when it's class?
Or just I asked the same question. And what do you think's in Eretz Yisrael, Jeff? You know what the guys told me? Because I was talking to one of the guys who were walking yesterday, and I was talking to them, like, what's going on over here with all this? So he said that in Eretz Yisrael, now in the American, like these American yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they don't tell them anymore. They're allowed to have phones. They're allowed to have iPhones, and they sit around with them all the time, constantly looking at them. I said, so the answer is, when they're asked, the people who run these places, is that the kids are not going to come. If the policy of the yeshiva is iPhone free during the day, whatever it is, you make your calls at night, but no, you're not allowed to bring any iPhones, you're not allowed to have them on you, is we're not going to have a chev. We're not going to be able to pay the rebbein. School will close down. Which could be that's true. I'm not saying that's not true. Could be it's true. The yeshiva will close down. So a couple of years ago, they made a whole big deal. You can't bring it here, you can't bring the mismanagement, they start with the cell phone. Now in a lot of the Bat Midrashim, guys sit with cell phones in the Bet Midrash. They sit with the phone, it rings in the Bet Midrash. The ones with their haris do that whole silly dance of like looking around and saying, whispering on the phone and running out of the Bet Midrash. The ones with less their haris, they sit back and talk. It's we're losing the whole thing. So now they bring it to the yeshiva, they bring it to the Bet Midrash. It means some bacha can't live without his phone. Why can't the bacha live without his phone? I mean, if he's got some girlfriend, I don't know. But if let's say he doesn't have a girlfriend, the girlfriend, of course, I understand. But if he doesn't have a girlfriend, then how does he live? Then why can't he leave his phone in the dormitory room? Why can't he leave his phone in the room? Why do you need a phone during Seder? And they can't have such a policy in the yeshiva because the boy is not going to come. What if they made a policy like that at work? Then what would you do? What if it was you had to sign a paper that you can't have any personal calls during you can't tend to any personal calls or personal emails during the day? I was just wondering about that. Is there a cheshem l'cheshem mishpat, like a person sits at work and is busy taking all kinds of personal emails and other things and he's getting paid by his boss? Isn't there a little problem with cheshem mishpat with that? Unless the boss says he doesn't care. I don't know how that works. Cheshem mishpat, I don't know how that works. With phone calls, when we were kids and we had a job, and if we would go to make a phone call, or they'd catch us at the payphone, they would get angry at us. I'm not paying you that you should be calling your girlfriend. Isn't it possible now for a person to sit at work and to be involved in all kinds of emails and things that's not for work? And you're getting paid to be at work. Isn't there a problem? Unless the boss would say he understands that we've lost and that we're all in this together, and we're all morons, and that we have no choice. And so I do that, and he does that. I can't ask my employees. Forget about the kids in yeshiva. I can't ask my 40-year-old employee not to be busy with posting his pictures on the email during work. I can't, on the Facebook. I can't impose that upon my employees, or else I'm not going to be able to have an office, because people can't live like that. So is it only the kids, or is it also the adults? I'm sorry for going on so much like this, but it brings out the point in a very clear way. Of what world do you live in? And why do you have to be worried about that? Why do you have to be nervous about it? Why do we have to live that way? It has to be instant. It's called instant messaging, right? Isn't that what it's called? I don't know, that's texting, the same thing? That's what texting is, instant messaging. It is instant messaging, instant. Why does it have to be instant? How come years ago we were able to get back later, or what happened? Why does it have to be instant? The terrorist thing you say is everybody expects it. You expect it from them, they expect it from you. So to what degree are you able to live in the Kuda HaNishmasis, or are you stuck in the Chizayon Reik, the empty vision, the lie, the distortion, that this is everything? That will determine whether you live a life of Menucha V'Oiz, tranquility and strength, or not. Tranquility and strength. The world of the Neshama is a world of tranquility and strength. The world of the Guf is a place of uncertainty and fear and turbulence. That's this world. That's Paro. That's Pen Yirbe. That's what it means. Tolu begodol ha'aliyah. This world is Oimekatahuva'apsius. It's the depths of Tohu and Apsius and zeroness. Ephes, zero. To lift oneself up, Liroim Habinyin Hayeshus Hamuklata, to the exalted heights of absolute reality, of Mechuyev Ametzius. And the only Mechuyev HaMetzius is the Borei Olam. That's the only Mechuyev HaMetzius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we could understand the Sugi of Bitoch. Of course we have to come back to what happened to Yaakov Avinu. The Dvarim Elu, the bottom of the page. The Dvarim Elu, Anu Noigim Yisoyed Merkazi B'Midas HaBitochen. Now we've touched upon the center point of what Bitochen is. Everybody throws around the word Bitochen, Bitochen. What is Bitochen? Where does it come from? I mean, we know it comes from Emunah. But when does Emunah morph into Bitachon? When does Emunah become Bitachon? When does a person go from just saying Bez Hashem and Yes Hashem, Baruch Hashem, to the point where God forbid, when he's going through Chalil, a terrible time, he has Menucha and Ois. He has tranquility and strength. He has tranquility and strength. And the other day, that such an Indian, I was thinking about this, I was driving, and I was thinking about what we're learning. And I had the GPS going, because I'm very bad with the directions, and I had to, so I had the GPS, and then I got a phone call, and I was thinking about this in the Kuda a little bit. And the person on the phone called me, and then I came to a place where you had to either go right to the left or to the right. And because the person was on the phone, and I didn't hear the GPS, so I didn't have enough time to look to see the picture because it was traffic, and I went the wrong way. I went the wrong way. The emphasis is, I even know, even without the GPS, I really know. I'm very bad with that stuff. I didn't even tell my wife; she wouldn't believe that I did this, because I know that I had to go the other way. But I was listening to the GPS, and then I got the phone call. The kids, I went the wrong way. But this was a mistake that cost me an hour and a half. I headed straight. There was something on Monday with the George Washington Bridge something went on over there. It was, everything was, there was nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. And if I would have gone the other way, the way I was supposed to go, I would have gotten where I had to go for 4 or 5 minutes. 4 or 5 minutes. I had to turn off to go up to Washington Heights. It was 4 or 5 minutes. I got trapped in this thing and I didn't move. So the first thing I felt like doing when I, because I went like three seconds and then I was the wrong way. I was back on the bridge and the wrong way and the cars and I saw a yam of cars. So my first instinct is to share this with my wife. Just to call to tell her, lest she be happy. Just to tell her how you wouldn't believe it happened to me. Now, I didn't tell her that I did that dumb thing. I just said this horrible traffic. I didn't say it. I just said I'm stuck in terrible traffic, you know, whatever. So, I couldn't get through there right away. And then I was sitting there thinking, I can't believe this. I'm going to be sitting here for two hours, which I did. It was like 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm going to be sitting like this. And I was just around the corner from where I had to go. It's right around the bend. And I got into this mess. I can't get out. And then I said to myself, you know, you're the biggest faker in the world. I had this whole thing, because I had plenty of time. I said, here you're thinking about the Chalban and Bitochen and Mechliv HaMetzias and Efshari HaMetzias, and you're going to make yourself crazy that you made the wrong turn. Kilu, the whole Indian that I made that turn, like, that was everything was because I lost control of I didn't do the right thing. I could have gotten to where I wanted to go much faster. So while I'm thinking about this Torah, I'm messing it all up, you understand? Then I came to myself and I was all right. It took me a few minutes and then I said, you were just thinking about this Torah? Because I was thinking when I was driving, I was thinking about it. And then I got into the same minion. And then when it happened, I was getting nervous, I was getting upset, I can't believe it, they're waiting for me over there, I got these people waiting for me, that's not nice, and you know, and I'm going to be late, I start to make myself crazy. There's no menucha, right away, there's no menucha. That never ever would have happened to my father, Zogus and Zayn, even though he never learned the Chalban. My father would have just said, well, they hate this, like he says a million times, that's how it goes. And my mother would be saying, how could you do that, honey? How could you do that? You know you're supposed to turn the... You know. My father would sit there and say, I made a mistake. No. I made a mistake. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's such a hard thing. But that's what we're talking is. This is the Yisayd Merkazi. In the midah of bitachon, l'maisik kedei levtoch b'Hashem te'emes. In order to truly trust in Hashem, sarach adam lahavik b'kirbay, we have to shine inside of us, polish inside of us. Yosef says behirus emuna, the clarity of emuna, to shine and polish the emuna inside of us. Vesa hakara, see where this goes here. Be back. That's hakara hapnimis, to be able to recognize in a deep, internal way. In Hashem is everything. Hashem is everything. Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is everywhere. This is it. Everything is a lakus. Kol oichinid mila adam misha oilam achaymehu oilam haamiti. As long as you think that the Olam HaChem, the physical world, is the Olam HaAmiti, the traffic is the Olam HaAmiti, that's the Olam HaAmiti. That's the real. That's real. Hayeshus HaKayemes, that's existence, that's reality. Vila HaOlam HaRuchni, but as far as the Bar Olam is concerned, davening and learning and mitzvahs and all of that stuff, as far as the Olam HaRuchni is concerned, Nidme Be'enev Dolil V'Avriri, it seems to be ethereal, it seems to be fluffy. Fluffy. Ruchni is fluffy. How my wife feels, you know, about if I don't talk to her for a little bit, if I'm not home, how does she feel? That's, I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. But right now, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, even though I'm ignoring her. That's your yeshus. And what about her feelings? That's fluff. Same thing. Davening, it's fluff. I don't know God, this, I've never met him. But what I'm doing right now, that's real. The Olam, as long as the Olam HaRuchni seems to the person to be what? Dolil v'aviri, like aviri means like fluffy air. Not real. Kilu shemisha nimtza bemes zakol misha ba'olam ha'chaim. Kilu, what? Only the only thing that exists is somebody who is alive and real in the world. Kilu kadosh baruch hu nimtza pachais chalila, and as if God forbid, Hashem is pachais, he's less. He's not as real as the world. Shurachik is far away. Nelam hidden. V'chadayim yil adam kashel of tach b'shem. As long as we think that way, we're not going to have the menucha and the eyes that comes with trusting in God. You can talk about it, you can say all the nice words, but you can't fake that. You're either in that place or you're not. That's either your way of looking at things or it's not. Ha'hargosha ativish shel halevi, the natural feeling of the heart is, shebechedezeh yoyishu b'ni odom, I'm sitting in a room with other people. V'yesh b'sfarim, there are books here, and kisos and chairs. Balev margish shehem hadover amiti v'haposhet shenim tzvim tzias, and that's what's here: people and chairs and books. Yilal kadosh baruch hu tzarech lahagid shehu nimtza. Oy, by the Baruch Shem, I have to have a lomdis. I have to say that he's. Rabbi Yisai, remember, God is here. Remember, God is here. Mincha. Ki argosh apshuta hi chalila shehu nimtza. The simple feeling is he's not. Kachi amadrega tivish l'adam. That's the natural sense that a person has, that the Rebbeinu Shalom is Chalila Ayin, and that the chairs and the books and the tables is Yesh. Unless we get over that, we can't really trust in Hashem. And if we can't really trust in Hashem, then our lives are not lives of Menucha V'Ayis. So Hashem Yisbach should help us to continue and to reach that in Mitzvah Hashem.